final FPL pod of 2023. We brave the topic of budget defenders, we try to sort the Salah and Son situation, and we're hoping for some improvements on the guys' dodgy differentials of late. Hello, everyone. Well, who knows what day it is? We're in that awkward time of year between Christmas and New Year when no one has a clue. But it is Thursday and FPL Pod is back to review game week 18 and 19. Now, as it stands, of course, game week 19 isn't finished because there are two more games to come this week. We hope you've all had a good one so far. As always, I've awoken Sam Bonfield, Ian Irving and Julian and Ron from their post-Christmas lull. And Jules, I'm going to start with you. Happy Christmas. But how did you say Happy Christmas to us this year? What was the one message we got from you on the 25th of December?
Joyeux Noël to everyone. It's just that, you know, the official Fantasy Premier League social media accounts put out, hey, are you top of your mini league at Christmas? So I just looked. I had no idea if I was top or not. As you know, I'm not, you know, I'm playing for pleasure, of course, and to be with you guys. And it turned out that I was top at Christmas. So, hey, like last Christmas, the song, like Arsenal, the football club, I was also top at Christmas. So I thought I'll share that with the whole world. So, hey, you know, it might not last. So
it hasn't lasted, Jules. We're 3 days after Christmas. Who's top now?
This game week is not finished yet.
Well, you seem to go early, and I'm going to tell you that I've gone 2 points above you, thanks to that man, Julian Alvarez. We'll talk about FPL Pod mini leagues and our mini league and all that very shortly. But Ian, I imagine it was a happy Christmas for you. Saw you on the TV at the Manchester United game. Rasmus Højlund scoring, Manchester United winning. And you had a pretty good game week as well. 32 points, not too bad.
Yeah, I did. I interviewed Højlund and Alejandro Garnacho on the pitch. And all I really wanted to do was hug Alejandro Garnacho because as my second sub, he's coming off the bench with his 14 points in his back
14
pocket.
Points.
And it turns out it's not just Father Christmas who delivers over the festive period. What a hero he is.
Yeah, I hadn't actually noticed that. Oh my God, because I thought you had Lascelles' first sub, but of course he didn't play.
Yep. Yeah.
So Garnacho, oh no. Yeah. Guys, I'm a bit worried. I think he's going to, this whole project helping Ian, he's going to overtake us at some point.
As we record now, I think I'm something like 375,000, which people will remember because we talked about it a lot, unfortunately. I was 3.4 million, I think, when I jumped on the pod. So to go to like 10% of my rank, pretty much, I'm quite happy with that. And like Jules said, it's not over yet. There's damage that can be done, of course, but I've got, I think, three or four players yet to play. So see where I end up at the end of the game week. But yeah, I'm really pleased. Yeah, this is good. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for your help. Thank you
for take the credit
the
for
luck
this, guys.
Rubbing off. Yeah.
Just a quick word from an FPL point of view. Højlund, first Premier League goal. Are we seeing signs that potentially he could become someone we'll look at? I'm going early there. Admittedly, it's one goal.
Yeah, maybe because he's only seven million? I've not checked his price recently. I owned him earlier on in the season when he was 7 million. And that's quite cheap for a Manchester United attacker. If Manchester United's attack plays like a Manchester United attack, which has not happened much this season. In fact, Garnacho's two goals made me have a look at my luck this season, or record, I should say, this season with Manchester United attackers. I've owned 14 United attackers across 10 game weeks. And there's only been returns in three of them. And obviously Garnacho was one of those this week. Rashford got two assists in game week three. He got a goal in game week four. Other than that, there's just no returns there at all for the attack. So I'm not going to jump on anyone else just yet. But for the moment, the 4.7 million little hero in midfield will do me.
I do enjoy our weekly dose of Ian's FPL woes. Every week you've got a tale of how something different has gone wrong this season.
Got to look at stuff like that, haven't you?
I've just checked, by the way, as well, and Højlund has gone down to 6.8 million now, which perhaps shows how his season's gone so far. The fact that he's had a price drop since you owned him. Sam, happy Christmas. How was your... I asked how the guy's game week 19 was, but game week 18 as well, of course. Yeah, sorry, you probably didn't want to talk about that.
Yeah, game week 18 was a bit of a disaster. I think I had nearly as many points on my bench as I did in my actual team. So that was not great going into Christmas. And then game week 19, do you know, I so nearly moved the captain's armband last minute and it didn't go through. So it was one
Welcome
of those...
Welcome to my world. That's the kind of thing I do.
I know. And the thing is, it was... I was sitting having a conversation with Max about his. He was like, I want a captain's son. And I was like, oh, no, I want to do the same. And then I was like, oh, I'll do yours and then I'll do mine. So I changed his and then went to do mine and missed the deadline. It's like, argh. That's very annoying. Because as I said, I wasn't going to look at my team after Christmas Eve. And I genuinely didn't until that moment where I tried to change my captain's armband. And I was like, ah, that's annoying. But alas, never mind. We'll see. Game week 19 is actually not going so badly at the moment. Obviously, still got quite a few players to play tonight. So we'll see how that one pans out. But 18 was just a real frustration. The fact that I brought in Martinez for a game against Sheffield United, he starts, concedes, and then Ariola really gets a clean sheet on my bench is such a me goalkeeper thing
that.
This year, isn't it? Yeah, I knew you would.
A lot of you.
Yeah, I knew you would.
I enjoyed that.
You know, Watkins captain, you old captain Watkins. You know, I went for Salah, which was the right call, basically.
Yeah, I was raging. Absolutely raging when that Sheffield United, like, because it was made worse by the fact that it was scored by Cameron Archer, who was my third sub as well. So I was just like, this is just such an FPL thing to happen. But yeah, never mind.
I was keeping such a close eye on who you brought in as goalkeeper after all our chat on the podcast as well. And when I saw it was Martinez and then that goal went in, I was like, oh no. At least he's not injured.
That's true. At least he's playing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very true, very true. Okay, so there is no off the bench this week because we're at a very weird point, aren't we? We've had game week 18, we've had most of game week 19, but we've still got some big players to play in the games tonight between Brighton and Spurs and Arsenal and West Ham. But we'll do a bit of an off the bench style review of what we've learned so far. We've already touched upon the fact that Rasmus Højlund might become an option, but maybe not just yet. Just one Premier League goal probably isn't enough for us to bring him into our teams. But Jules, a goal at last for...
It's Darwin time. I told you people to keep the faith. Vamos, Chico, vamos, vamos. It was good. It was a lovely finish, by the way. I celebrated madly and loudly in my house to see Darwin score that goal, 8 points. And to be fair, again, he should have had more, to be fair, because there was easily another assist there or another goal. But it's, at least he's getting there. So I was pleased that I kept him for at least another week.
Is he going to be able to do it again, though?
That's the question. Usually he doesn't. I really hope that this, you know, Christmas period, festive period brings the best out of him, the most efficiency out of him, and that he can do it. You know, he can go back to back, score again, be involved. He's kind of started a bit more on the left-hand side, and Gabco was a bit more as a nine, false nine, number 10, if you want, which I think helps Darwin a little bit more. So we see what club does, but yeah, it was sweet, to be fair, as a Christmas, late Christmas present.
Yeah, very late Christmas present. Is that the first goal he scored since he's been in your team?
It is indeed. I did even the ESPN show on Christmas Eve, I think it was, or Christmas Day, and even there they took the mickey out of me for having Darwin still in my fantasy team. And I said to them, I said, I'm keeping the faith, and obviously that paid off.
You know, it's bad when it crosses over into the mainstream as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
No, when you've got general football sort of programs and streams where people are taking the mick out of your FPL side. You know, yeah. It's bad when it gets to that stage. I'm happy for you, Jules, because...
Thank you, my friend.
I'm not.
Again,
no,
like Sam with the goalkeepers, you with Darwin, I've quite enjoyed watching the woe over recent weeks. So I'm pleased you got something in the end.
Okay. On to some of the other points then from game week 19, because there was other things happening other than Darwin Núñez scoring. Of course, there was a few. We've been warning you about this each and every week. Suspensions. A few players were suspended because they got booked in game week 18. One of those was Cole Palmer. And Ian, if I remember rightly, you were bigging him up, weren't you?
Yeah, I mean, this happens, doesn't it? It's not the end of the world. And to be honest, when you've got Garnacho to come on, I was really pleased that Cole Palmer got that booking. That was the piece of luck that I needed to get him off my bench. So he'll be back now. Chelsea looked okay without him, but I think he'll be back in that side. I don't think that's a concern at all. The one thing I learned from game week 19, being at Goodison Park last night, is that it's time for Manchester City. They look so much better than before they went away to the Club World Cup. And just watching the team against Everton, it made me think that we need to get assets in ahead of this Sheffield United game, whether Erling Haaland is back or not. Guardiola said after the match that he's still not training fully with his teammates, so I guess that puts a big question mark over his involvement in game week 20, but he'll be back pretty soon. Kevin De Bruyne is back training with the side. He's managing a little bit of muscle fatigue, I believe, but they are looking at getting him back in the team sooner rather than later now as well. He's been training for around a week or so with the side after a long, long layoff from that injury on the opening weekend. But watching City last night and the way that Pep Guardiola spoke about him after the game, I think Phil Foden could be the one. He absolutely dominated that match in the second half. He controlled the game towards the end, which is the huge issue that Guardiola has with him and why he's not really selected him longer term in that central role as a number 8, number 10 that City play. But Guardiola praised his sense of control after the match last night, and I can see him getting a run in the team in that position And that should be on our radar for FPL because he scored last night. He hit the post as well. And he was just involved in everything going forward for City.
I was going to say that could be quite timely for us in FPL, Sam, couldn't it? Given the fact, as we spoke about on the last podcast, we've got a couple of key midfielders are going to be going away in January.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, we'll be looking for midfielder slots. And a lot of FPL managers have been kind of going, well, if I'm going to sell Salah or I'm going to sell Son, then KDB coming back could be an opportune moment to spend that budget on another premium. But actually, you know, someone like Foden was really impressive yesterday in that game. And you know, you've got Grealish as well, Bernardo Silva. There's plenty of options in that Man City midfield that you could kind of have a little look at. And as you say, Kels, probably not this week, but ahead of game week 21, when the likes of Salah and Son have gone off to AFCON and the Asian Cup, then we'll be looking for midfielders. So if you want to go a week early and bring in a Man City midfielder now ahead of that game against Sheffield United, that seems a really wise move to me.
Ian, also, I wanted to pick up on the fact that Julian Alvarez scored and we've both kept him in our team as well. Never have I been so nervous watching someone take a penalty. I was absolutely convinced he was going to miss
it. You almost missed it as well, by the way.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah.
Watching him take it, he just didn't look convinced, did he, as he was taking it? But actually, I'm now thinking with Haaland being out, he's actually a hold for me at the moment.
Yeah, he's a hold heading into the Sheffield United game. I mean, definitely listen to Pep Guardiola's press conference. We are getting towards a more normal schedule when it comes to knowing stuff before deadlines and things like that. So I think we should have another update from Guardiola before that Sheffield United match. But the way he spoke last night, it sounded like Haaland was a doubt still for the Sheffield United game. And I think because of the nature of his injury as well, they're having to think really carefully about when to bring him back to make sure that he's definitely right, he's definitely fit, and there's no more problems for him. And perhaps he looks at a game like that and thinks, you know, we can do it without Erling Haaland. It was the first time a team had come from behind to beat Everton since Sean Dyche has been in charge at Goodison. So it gives you an idea of how resolute they've been and how well City did to get back in that game. And they just, even the way they celebrated towards the end, it just felt far more like the City that we've become used to in recent years in the Premier League. You could tell that the players felt that that was a big second 45 minutes. On Foden, the only thing that makes me a little nervous about how certain I am of him playing in that central role is that when Haaland's been there, Foden hasn't. And I wonder whether it's an Alvarez and Foden thing because City need more goal threat and Foden brings a bit more of that in that central role when Haaland's not there. So for me to be absolutely certain that Foden's going to play that central role long term, I want to see him doing that with Haaland as well. But no doubt, if he is in that central role, he's a brilliant FPL asset.
Sam, anything else we've missed that you wanted to point out that's happened from game week 18 and 19 that you think FPL managers need to be aware of?
Well, there's the problems with the budget defenders as well, isn't there? With Tsimikas breaking his collarbone during that game in game week 18 against Arsenal. That, for me, was a bit of a disaster. But at the same time, it's maybe also an opportunity because heading into game week 19, I didn't really want to spend the money on Trent on the basis that that would mean I had real problems getting in Haaland if he was fit and available for the Sheffield United game. Now we've heard from Pep and have a bit more information about Haaland, I think moving from Tsimikas either up, if you want to go up to Trent, seems like it might be wise, although they have got Newcastle in game week 20. So that's not the easiest fixture in the world. Plus, we also saw Gusto obviously getting the start for Chelsea and actually looking all right. So if you do want to stay in that budget ballpark, then you can go down there. But people have got issues left, right and centre with the budgets, haven't they? With the Cells not even on the bench, with Livramento being rotated in the last couple of games, it's a bit of a minefield when it comes to the budget. So you can stay down that end and go for someone like Gusto, or you've got to spend the money elsewhere. And maybe going up to Trent actually at this point is the right thing to do.
Yeah, I actually joined the Trent Alexander-Arnold owner Ship Club.
Ooh,
Ian,
I'm
quite enjoying it after a return. I've copied you. It's
a good
isn't
place
it?
To be. Absolutely. He's treated me very well, young Trent.
And it felt quite an exciting move to make to go from Tsimikas to Trent Alexander-Arnold. I felt like I was really rich, really flashing the cash. So yeah, if I need to get Erling Haaland back in, I've got a bit of a headache. But yeah, he's a good player to own at the moment. I'm not even too worried about that fixture against Newcastle that Sam mentioned. Anyway, on to the FPL Pod Mini League. Because firstly, actually, before we go on to the public one, let's talk about the one between the four of us. And I did say, I'm not going to go early like Jules did, but I am just about above him. only by a couple of points, but that Alvarez goal took me above him after he went early on Christmas Day. However, I've taken a look and I've only got three players to play and everyone else has got more players left to play than me. Jules, you've got Areola, Saliba, Udogi, Saka and Son, so you're going to go back top. Sam's got Saliba, Porro, Son and Saka. Ian has, of course, got Garnacho coming off the bench. Son, Porro, Gabriel and Saka. Guys, I think we've got a problem here because I think Ian is going to keep beating us and eventually catch us at the rate we're going.
That just makes us look good, though, because we're helping him.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree.
Yeah, it's giving me twitchy feet, though, that's for sure. Anyway, on to the public league, which you
guys
are playing against us. You'd expect nothing less. Michael sits top of the mini league with his team, the Comeback Kids. Ian, your team should be called that.
FC Phoenix. I changed the name when I started this project of climbing the FPL ranks. I changed my name to FC Phoenix, rising from the flames to claim glory in FPL once again.
For listeners who, of course, can't see Ian right now, that's how
my arms
works.
Are aloft.
Yes, his arms.
There's a smile
aloft.
On my face.
Yeah, the resemblance to Phoenix is uncanny. Michael has still got Porro, Son as captain. Smart move, I think. Bowen, he's still doing his Phoenix impression. And Richarlison to play on Thursday evening. I wonder if he's a Spurs fan by any chance. He's also had returns from Cunha, Isak and Trent Alexander-Arnold so far. Okay, on to some of our big topics this week then. And we're going to turn our attention to Game Week 20 and discuss the premiums. Game Week 20 gets underway on Saturday. And as we have seen, premiums are proving to be pretty desirable at the moment, with managers trying to fit in as many of them as possible into their teams. Trent, as I mentioned, got returns again. He got all three bonus points despite being booked in Game Week 19. 30% of FPL managers sold Haaland over the last few weeks. And I think managers will also be wanting him back. We've also got Salah and Son off to AFCON and the Asian Cup after their matches against Newcastle and Burnley. So we kind of touched upon this last week. There's a lot of decisions to be made, Sam. What do managers do? Who are the most desirable premiums to go for? And do managers have to wait until Salah and Son have actually gone before moving them on?
I think you do with Son. I think going into the game against Bournemouth, you'd want to have Son for that one. With Salah, it's a bit more difficult, I guess, because if you really do want to spread the budget around, but in reality, if Haaland's not back, then it's unlikely that you need to move the budget out of Salah in advance, because I think that's what a lot of managers were talking about. They were talking about, well, maybe I'll sell Salah early because that will give me the money that I need to buy Haaland. If you don't need to buy Haaland for Sheffield United, then probably you can just afford to hold Salah. And I do think that there is a conversation to be had if Haaland's not available until the end of January, and we don't know yet how long he's going to be out for. There's a conversation about whether you sell Salah at all, or whether you just bench him for the duration of AFCON, because do you really need that budget to move it around the rest of your team? And are you better to hold your team value instead? So for me, when it comes to premiums right now, holding Salah and Son for game week 20. And then I think after that, probably Trent is the one that I don't have that I most want to have in my team. And that's one of the transfers that I'll be doing this week. I'll be moving Simicast to Trent Alexander-Arnold, because I probably should have done that last week, to be honest. I just didn't want to restrict my budget.
Now who's copying who, hey?
Well, I know. There'll be a lot of that
for the first
this
time
week.
Ever.
Yeah, I know. Trendsetter over here. If you...
You can't claim to be a trendsetter on Trent Alexander-Arnold. I've owned him for about 2 months. Come on. Credit where credit's due.
All right, I'll give you a bit of credit, but I did that exact transfer is all I'm saying. I did Simicast to Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Oh, Sam.
Jules, what are you thinking you're going to do? I know forward planning isn't your thinking
but it's only
a week away, so I'm hoping you've maybe thought about it.
Yeah, I did, because I would have loved Trent as well. I would have loved Simicast to Trent, to be fair. But I was just too scared not to then have enough money in case Haaland was coming back for Sheffield United or even just after that. And it's still a little bit too complicated for me on if I get rid of Salah or Son, and I'm just gonna keep two free transfers every week, so just do one per week. So I've got two. So at least I won't need to take a -4 when I want to bring back Haaland, for example. And just wait until Son and Salah go away, and then I can bring Trent, or I can spread the money a bit. Or if KDB is back and it looks good, I can bring in KDB just during the duration of AFCON and the Asian Cup, or certainly as long as Son and Salah are away. And then when they come back, I think all of us will have to choose, because you won't be able to have everyone. Oh, you might be able to, but it'd be difficult to have and Trent and Haaland and Salah and Son again all together. So then you can see, but I just thought it was too early for me to try to bring Trent and work out all the math and all the money and everything. So I just didn't do it.
Just avoiding a headache there, weren't you? Yeah, I do understand. And I felt that fear when I did the transfer, Ian. But we have managed to get Salah, Son and Trent into our team. So what are you going to do when Salah and Son aren't here? Because like me, we've already got Trent.
Well, I'm even tempted to take Son out this week, to be honest. I mean, originally I thought it was going to be Salah this week for Haaland. But like we've talked about, we're not certain that Haaland's back. Newcastle at home now looks like a far better fixture than it did for Liverpool as well, considering their form over the last couple of game weeks and beyond that as well. I mean, Salah's home form this season has been amazing. I think he's only blanked against Manchester United in all his home matches so far this season. So he's a great asset at home. You know, he's even a captain option, I think, for this game week, despite it being against Newcastle. But Son's just not looked as good since he's been on the left-hand side. Now, he did come in a bit more against Everton because obviously Richarlison went off early. So I'll be keeping a close eye on the Brighton game tonight to see how Son is, what position he plays and exactly what he looks like. I don't think it was a goal from the left-hand side against Everton either. I think it was from a set piece. Sam will correct me if I'm wrong with that. So I think if you were jumping off Son for, say, like a Phil Foden this week, whose fixture is better than Son's as well, there's a fair chance that he outscores him. But that said, if Haaland's not back, I don't think we need to make those transfers. So that's the thing that's sort of nagging at me a little bit. I've got two free transfers. I know we'll talk about transfers later, but if I was getting rid of either of those two, the way the last few weeks have gone in the form, I think it's more likely to be Son than Salah.
Yeah, if there's ever been a week that you've wanted to hold a transfer for another week and have three transfers for the following week, it feels
that's
like this
it,
one's it, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. That would be lovely, wouldn't it?
Yeah, there's nothing I really want to do this week, but I know that come next week, I'm definitely going to want to do something. And of course, there's the FA Cup break, so we've got even longer to kind of think about what we're going to do after the game week. Anyway, on to budgets from one end of the spectrum to another. And there's a few issues, as we've already alluded to, because Livramento doesn't appear to be in that first 11 now. Lascelles wasn't involved once again. Tsimikas broke his collarbone. Kabore seems a rotation risk too, having gone off at halftime and been benched in the last 2 weeks. This isn't what we want at the moment, is it, when we're trying to fit the likes of Trent Alexander-Arnold into our team, Jules?
It's not at all. That uncertainty just bothers me a lot, you know? Like,
yeah.
Especially if you have a bench that is not very good, like I am, where you just need one really that could come in and play when somebody's not starting or not playing, and it's not the case. So Livramento was an easy one, I think, for a lot of us when Newcastle had all those injuries, because you knew he would come in either a right back or a left back. It's not the case anymore. And I think it's difficult. We lost Tsimikas as well, which, again, we knew that he was pretty much certain to start a left back for Liverpool. And you can go to Joe Gomez. It's just not the same, for example. So try to find another budget defender, especially that can help you cover those positions that you had kind of locked in before with a Livramento or Tsimikas.
Yeah, it's hard to say who's the most desirable budget defender at the moment, isn't it, Ian? Who would you say it is?
Well, Sam mentioned Malo Gusto before, and yeah. I think if he keeps his spot in that Chelsea side, I think he's probably just about it. He was great last night. I saw his heat map going around on social media and everything was red. He was involved in a lot for Chelsea. So I think he's probably about the best of the bunch at the moment. I'm just looking up his price as I'm speaking 4.1.
Now. 4.1.
4.1 million. Thank you, Sam. So, I mean, you know, he's an easy bring in for, you know, the likes of Lascelles or Livramento, Tsimikas, whoever you've got, if you want to keep the budget down. Also, Jarrett Branthwaite at Everton as well. I think he's still 4.1 million. He's starting every week this season for them, and Everton have been decent at times, keeping clean sheets. I think they're sort of fourth on the fixture ticker over the next three as well, although looking at the games, Wolves, Aston Villa at home and Fulham away. I'm not sure how many clean sheets there are there for Everton, but again, you know, if you want to keep the budget down longer term, he's someone that I think you could bring in too. But yeah, I mean, with Lascelles, obviously you said he missed out with a knock, but Eddie Howe went back to his first choice back four for that Nottingham Forest game. It didn't go well, obviously, because they lost 3-1. But in Trippier, Cher, Botman and Burn. That's what they started the season with. That's what he believes was their first choice back four from last season. So even if Lascelles is fit, I'm not sure he's getting back in.
Yeah, are you going to suggest to anyone to bring in Dan Burn? Because someone did that on the podcast last week, didn't they?
That was my differential.
Definitely won't be recommending Anthony Robinson.
I can't believe Jules so freely admitted that was his differential.
It's okay,
I was trying to
mock
him
on record, so I can't lie, really. I can't be done.
It does feel like when it comes to the defenders, maybe, Sam, we need to start looking at the 5 million and above kind of category annoyingly, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I agree with Ian. I think Gusto is probably the best option in the cheap bracket. There is some risk there, and you could actually pair him with a Gehi or a Klein from Crystal Palace. They're both 4.4 and 4.5, and they rotate really nicely with the fixtures, Palace and Chelsea. So you can go for a cheap pair of rotating ones like we have done in the past and could probably get away with it. But there is still some element of doubt as to who plays in that Chelsea team. Does Gusto always get the start? And that would worry me a little bit, given that that's part of the reason for moving away from the Newcastle guys that we've just been investing in. And you know, we laugh at Jules, but actually I don't think it's a hugely terrible shout to go back to Burn and Botman. We had them in the early part of the season. Yes, the next 2 weeks don't look great for clean sheets, but after that, the fixtures are quite nice for a period of time. So you could go back there, but it does feel like really you want to be spending 5 million on the majority of your defenders right now and having, you know, better options than we've got in the cheap bracket. The cheap bracket now feels like we're kind of scraping the barrel a little bit and we're kind of just making it work because we need to for the budget purposes, whereas there's so many great options above 5 million. It feels like those are the ones we should be trying to get to.
I guess at the point where we're making our Salah and Son transfers out potentially over the next couple of weeks, do you think we should be moving that money into the defence now, Sam?
Yeah, I think so, because, you know, Ian was talking about potentially selling Son, and I think for me, I just want another week of knowledge before he goes, because if we haven't had firm word yet as to when James Maddison's back. So if James Maddison's going to be coming back just after the FA Cup, then actually you've got the opportunity to stay invested in a Spurs attack that we all want to be invested in, or we could go for a Richarlison or a Brennan Johnson or whoever you fancy. But Maddison was so great in that early part of the season, I think you'd want to go there. And that additional budget that you're saving from Son to Maddison, you wouldn't necessarily need to re-spend that when Son comes back from the Asian Cup. You can just stick with Madders and then use that money to upgrade your defender instead.
Yeah, that's definitely an interesting point with James Maddison, something I hadn't thought about, actually. Let's move on to another team that we have touched upon, particularly with their defence, and Newcastle, because I'm trebled up on Eddie Howe's side. They've been so reliable and had so many good budget options for us so far this season, but their form has dipped quite dramatically. One win and four defeats in the last five Premier League matches, and that includes defeats to both Luton and Forest in game week 18 and 19. And now they also sit bottom of the fixture ticker between now and the end of January. Jules, do managers now have to move players on if they've got them from Newcastle?
I think so. I mean, depends how many you have. If you only have one, I guess you can decide what to do. You can bench him if you have a strong bench, or sell him. But I just think Liverpool, City, Villa for the next three games is a terrible fixture list, obviously, considering how bad Newcastle are right now, the loss of confidence, the tiredness. We talked about the fatigue before. And there are a few players who came back from injury who are there, who are another option for Eddie Howe, but they're still not much. So you could expect more or less a very similar team to the one that got quite humiliated at home by Nottingham Forest and Chris Wood, by the way, which I think is just too much. If it was not Liverpool, City, Villa back to back, you would say, okay, they can still get something, they can do something. Right now, I can't see them not conceding to start with. And even scoring a goal, I think, is difficult for them right now. We saw the penalty against Forest, but even that was a little bit generous, let's put it that way. So I just think they're just struggling. And I think to be knocked out of the Champions League the way they did must have been a big blow psychologically, to then get knocked out of the League Cup in the manner that they did. Again, in all the toughness and difficulty of the season, that just didn't help at all. So right now, I don't think it's a good time to own any Newcastle players.
It's since that dodgy PSG penalty, Jules. That's what's done it. That was the turning point of their season.
I can't talk too much about that, but I kind of agree with you.
You have done previously.
Yeah, I've done previously. I just thought it was an absolutely fair decision by the referee at the time.
Oh, that's funny.
We're in their season.
Yeah, maybe the reason you're quite smug is you've actually only got one Newcastle player. Oh, no, you've got two with Dubravka as well, haven't you?
That was a great move from all of you, Dubravka. I remember Ian like really saying, this is so obvious, so good.
Yeah, I think he's been all right. I don't think he's been a problem. You tell me the goalkeeper that's been tearing the FPL season apart in the last few games.
Yeah, Sam as well. Exactly. Yeah. So
all season it's been like this, and it just get the one who is as cheap as possible, who's playing every week. Newcastle's defense has been good, you know, up until the point when Bravik came in, and it's not been as good since. I'm not saying it's all Martin's fault before any of the Dubravka fan club gets in touch, but Areola will probably start for us, won't he, over the next few. West Ham's fixtures look decent over the next three when Newcastle are not great, so that rotation works nicely. Like we've said, the other one I own is Lascelles, so I think he's not going to be in the team longer term now with Cher and Botman being fit, so he's probably a sell. I just don't think that's the priority, to be honest, at the moment, especially with looking at the way our midfields are going to be reshaped over the next couple of game weeks. So if he ends up being my 15th player on the bench, I'm all right with that, really. I'm not in a massive rush to get rid of him. I'm not relying on him to start week to week. So I'll just leave him there, I think, for the time being.
Livramento and Gordon are the two you own, Sam. Mm. What are your plans?
Livramento, I think, will have to go at some point, but I'll probably deal with Tsimikas first because he genuinely can't play, whereas Livramento might get some minutes. So coming off the bench from the third sub spot's not the end of the world. And I also think that when you look forward, like if you've got Trippier instead of Livramento, or you've got a Burn or a Botman or a Shah in your team, yes, the next 2 weeks look incredibly difficult and the clean sheets don't look likely, even the Villa game, I bracket in that. But then after that, fixtures are nice. So if you don't have budget issues and you want, and you've already got Trent maybe, then I would just hold them and put them on the bench. With Livramento, I think he's going to be a sell, but not a priority sell. I think, you know, unless he is your only problem, and then deal with him. As for Anthony Gordon, it's difficult, isn't it? He's the fourth most selected midfielder in the game. He's got one assist in the last five game weeks. And we were kind of waxing lyrical about Anthony Gordon for such a long time, and he was so impressive. I do feel like he's been a bit unlucky in some of the last game weeks not to have got returns. Like, I've watched him and thought there could easily have been some returns for you in the last few weeks. It's tough because I don't think he's going to be a priority, because people are going to have the likes of Hwang, Son, Salah, people going off to AFCON, the Asian Cup. Those are going to be priority transfers potentially for people. Whereas Anthony Gordon, yes, difficult fixtures, but, you know, is he really a priority transfer out? And is there anyone really in that kind of cheap bracket that you'd want to go to instead to replace him? I mean, John McGinn and potentially Jack Harrison are probably the best ones in that same sort of budget price tag, and they don't excite me as much as Anthony Gordon does.
Garnacho.
Elanga, I suppose, at Forest as well, who's under a revival with Nuno coming in. But again, I think I'd rather stick with Gordon.
Ian, is that a serious suggestion?
Yeah. Yeah, especially for me, it's worked with reshaping my team as well to go back to a front three, which I wanted. He's my cheapest midfielder at the moment. The one thing with Garnacho the other night, he grabbed that game, and that's something I've not seen from him before. He was the one for Manchester United. I mean, Marcus Rashford looked, that's probably his best game of the season as well. Certainly, as United were chasing that match, he was excellent. Obviously, Højlund got his first goal, but Alejandro Garnacho was 4.7 million. He switched to the right-hand side. His brother was shouting on social media how he'd never played there before. I think he has, but maybe he's not started in the Premier League for United in that position. And he was just excellent. Now, he's a kid, and there's going to be inconsistencies. There already has been so far, but he's 4.7 million. So I think as an eighth attacker, he's as good as it gets, and I think you can start him. You can rely on him. He's just got a 14-pointer against Aston Villa, which, you know, not many teams or players do. So I do think it is a serious suggestion. Yeah, if you were thinking of getting rid of Anthony Gordon and looking at bringing someone in, then I think Garnacho's handy, particularly if you move into the three up front, because you want Solanke, you want Watkins, Alvarez, if he's the choice, while Haaland's out. You want Haaland back. And it's just a cheaper way of reshaping the side at the moment for me. So semi-serious.
But then, Ian, wouldn't you rather go up a bit? Like, I look very longingly at Jarrod Bowen every week and think my biggest regret so far this season is selling Jarrod Bowen. And all I want is a route back to him. And I have one now because I don't necessarily need to spend the budget. But I don't know. I think that fifth midfielder spot, we've talked about it before, haven't we? Yeah, it can be a burner slot. And Anthony Gordon has felt like a budget midfielder because he is by price tag, but he hasn't been in reality because he's been returning so well until the last few weeks. If I was going to sell him, I'd want to upgrade him to Bowen instead rather than taking the price back down to someone like Garnacho, who's been inconsistent. At least with Bowen, you know exactly what you're going to get.
Oh yeah, if you can do that, blimey. There's no choice in my mind at all between Jared Bowen and Garnacho. Bowen is, in my head, the best midfielder to bring in while Son and Salah are away as well. He's just so consistent. Mm. West Ham's fixtures are good, like I think I said a moment ago when I was talking about Areola. So 100% he's the one to get. It's just if you're looking to reshape and you're bringing that attacker down, for me, if you, that's what I've done. That's why I had Garnacho in that slot. But I don't know, I suppose managers are now having to work out as well, are you getting rid of Son and Salah or are you going to keep one? And if you are going to keep one and bench them, because if they go out in the group stage, just to repeat, they're only going to miss two game weeks. So you have to be careful how you use the budget from these players. Obviously, we want Haaland back when he's fit, but you don't want to be spreading it around absolutely everywhere, because then it becomes near impossible, because you're going to be looking at getting Son back, you're going to be looking at getting Salah back, you want to be getting Haaland in as well. Now, three very expensive players. So be careful that you don't end up spreading it across sort of four or five players and it becomes really difficult to get these top assets back.
It does feel like there's a lot of headaches, but potentially it could be quite timely because we do get a new wild card next week. A reminder, the first wild card window closes with the game week 20 deadline. So if you do still have your first wild card, you do need to play it this week or you will lose it. You cannot hold a wild card, so you cannot have two wild cards for the second half of the season. We used ours ages ago, but if you do have it, I'm quite envious given the fact we have all of these decisions to make. Sam, if managers are wild carding this weekend or are planning to use their second wild card very early, who would you throw in very early on as being a good suggestion for a player to bring in?
I mean, I like to look quite long term with a wild card because I think if you're going to use particularly the second one, then you want to make sure that you are setting your team up for a while. So I take a 10-week view and obviously know that there's going to be transfers and stuff. But I think for me, Ollie Watkins, despite four blanks in the last five, would still be one of the first names. I'd also have a Villa defender in there, whether that be Martinez in goal or one of the defenders. Don't get Martinez because that's gone really well for me, hasn't it, so far? But, you know, the fixes are nice. Pau Torres, he was back on the bench this week, so maybe him. Moreno is a really interesting one because Luca Dean going off and being helped off didn't look great, did it? So maybe Moreno is going to get some more minutes. I might take a bit of a punt on him if I was wildcarding or play it safe and go for Konza. I'd have a couple of Arsenal players. For me, Saliba and Saka would be my choice. Jared Bowen would probably be the first player that I'd bring in. And then from a Spurs perspective, I think you have Pedro Porro. Then I'd probably go for Richarlison right now on the basis that he becomes a bit of a placeholder for the James Maddison slot as soon as Maddison is back fit and available again. I'd make that move across.
Well, Jules, Sam has virtually named a whole wildcard squad there, but anyone you'd suggest picking?
I think this was great. The good thing you could do, to be fair, is wait until Son and Salah are finished with their competition with AFCON and the Asian Cup, and then maybe play your wildcard there. It might be easier to bring everybody back in without having to take a -4 or -8 if you have spread the money around. Everybody will have different views on when to play the wildcard, and if your team is in a good position, you don't have to. But let's say you sell Salah and Son and Haaland is not back until mid-Jan, for example, or even a bit later, then playing your wild card to bring everybody back in and not having to take all those minors might be a good idea. So again, just if your team is in good shape now, you don't need to play, of course, but then that's a really interesting possibility to have, to play your wild card to just bring your team back after having sold all your premium especially Son and Salah because they were going away, and probably Haaland too because of the injury. So the wildcard then becomes really interesting to be able to bring everybody in without taking a -4 or -8.
Do you agree, Ian?
Yeah, I think it could be handy for us that. The only thing I'll say is wildcards are always best used when we know about double game weeks and blanks and things like that, and compare it with a bench boost. So you play it for any new players who have not gone through an FPL season with chips like we've had, you know, over the last few seasons. Often the most popular way of playing the wild card is by playing it the week before a double game week and lining up a bench boost then for that double game week. So you end up with 15 double game week players. That's the nirvana that we always try to get to, and it never quite works out how we hope, does it? But one time, once in 15, 16 or something like that, it was absolutely amazing. And we've chased the rainbow ever since, of Alexis Sanchez getting 25 points and whoever else it was, Aguero, I think. That's the optimum time still, I would think. It's not quite clear when that's going to be just yet. So if you can, I'd keep the wild card for the time being. But certainly if you want to get out of a hole, if you do end up going a little bit mad over these next few game weeks and spending the Son and Salah money all over the place and it's really hard to get them back, then maybe it'll be good. I think City are a team to target on wildcard if you're playing them now. I just think I'm just so on them now after watching that second half and the way they celebrated with their fans as well, with the gold world champions badge on the chest that they all were talking about after the game too, and the pride that they felt at wearing that. I just feel like they're going to come into a good moment now. They've been really inconsistent in the Premier League over the last month or so. One win from six before playing Everton last night, but starting with the Sheffield United fixture, I think it'll be better for them. Defensively, they've been really bad. 8 games without a clean sheet in the Premier League. That's crazy for City and the standards that they've set. If they were keeping clean sheets, I'd have an eye on Kyle Walker. He's played every single match, I think, so far this season. He's 5.3 million. And I think he could be, you know, someone to help us out in defence with the issues that we've talked about there. But yeah, Foden and Alvarez, while KDB and Haaland are missing, look good as well.
Yeah, and a little bit cheaper, which is always nice too. Okay. I'm going to take a deep breath before I say this. Time for differentials of the week, guys. And Ian's putting his hood up and he's also got a hat on this morning. He's going into hiding. You both look quite, shall we say, embarrassed, because it started so well this season, didn't it? You were returning every week.
Is Ian still allowed to pick one after what happened in his last pick?
I don't think I should.
So just a reminder, guys.
He got a minus. Nobody got a minus before this season.
I think that's probably the worst differential of the season, yes. Wow. Jules picked Dan Burn, who got 2 points. 2 points across 2 game weeks, by the way. Yeah. Sam picked Callum Wilson, who got 3 points across the 2 game weeks.
I'm taking this as a win, by the way. This.
Yes. Ian got Anthony Robinson, who got 0 points.
I'd like to make a public apology, Kelly, if I'm allowed.
I think it's probably for the best.
I apologise to anyone.
There's millions
who's
of people who follow
podcast.
Your advice and brought Anthony Robinson to their team for a minus two.
I'm so sorry if anyone did that.
Sam, you can run stats on pretty much everything. Can you run stats on how many people brought in Anthony Robinson after the podcast was released? Or does that kind of go beyond your stats computer's ability?
I probably can, but I can't do it right now. But okay, I could probably do it before the next one and see how many people took Ian's advice.
Don't. No, I feel even worse. So just
come on, guys. The only way is up. Surely we can get a total. Oh, my gosh. I've just worked out. So those 3 differentials across 2 game weeks, that was 6 opportunities for points. I only got 5 points.
Yeah, it's bad, wasn't
blanks.
It?
Half okay. An own goal. Does an own goal class as a blank?
No.
Is that a return?
That's
no?
A return.
No, it's not. Yeah. It's not the kind of return you want. Jules, you're going to go first. Tell us who you've got. Big him up, whoever it is.
I did think about Malo Gusto this week. We talked a lot about him. But instead, I went for Christopher Nkunku because I thought he looked really good in the 30-minute cameo against Wolves with the goal. And then his first start in the Premier League, obviously, against Palace on Wednesday night. He's going to start again. They've got Luton to come and then Fulham. I know he's 7.4, so it's quite expensive, to be fair, for someone who hasn't played at all, but he's owned by 3.3% of the managers. And I just think that he will be, and you could see already in the hour he played against Palace, that the ball comes to him all the time. They just look for him. He should have scored really that chance when he's almost one-on-one and Richards comes back. So I think he's a wonderful player. He's also obviously Paris born and bred, which is a massive help and kind of influence a little bit my choice, but Nkunku for me this week is going to be a great differential. Can't be worse than Ian's pick anyway.
To be honest, it can't really be worse than your pick either, Sam.
I know he's shouting. He's got 2 points. He got 0 in game week 19 as well. There is that, mate. Yeah, fair enough.
I am going to go for Jack Grealish this week. So 7.2 million. He's owned by 2% of the game with Doku still out. With a muscle injury, I think he'll get the nod against Sheffield United. Returns in 3 of his last 4 Premier League matches. And when I was looking for a Man City player to play, I was looking at the weaknesses in Sheffield United's team. So they are significantly weaker down their right-hand side. They've conceded 234 crosses from that side compared to just 168 from their left. They've also conceded 92 goal attempts from their right, which is more than any other team in the league, and 15 more than they've conceded from their left. So who are you going to find there? You'll find Jack Grealish. So hopefully some attacking returns, because quite frankly, it can't be any worse than it's been for the last few weeks.
Ian's become a City fan, so he'll probably quite like that pick. Who's your pick though, Ian?
Yeah, I could have even been more of a City fan and gone for Bernardo Silva, who was on my list as a backup, if I didn't go for Mohamed Kudus. 6.8 million, 7.3% owned. He's going to go away and play in AFCON for Ghana. So this will be his last hurrah against Brighton, who last kept a clean sheet in 1942. They defensively have not been great this season. No clean sheets at all in the Premier League. They have kept, I think, three in the Europa League, but in the league, none since May. He's yet to play, obviously, in game week 19 against Arsenal. So what a disaster that would be.
Risky.
I think that's the only way. The only way I can pick someone worse than Anthony Robinson is by picking someone who doesn't even play, I think, in the game week. Although that would mean he wouldn't get minus points. So thank you, Jules, before you jump in and make that remark to me. But yeah, he's returned his last three home games, 9 against United, 16 against Wolves and 9 against Palace. And Brighton at home for West Ham looks all right for Kudus.
You didn't do the big dramatic build-up this week.
Well, it's gone terribly last couple of weeks, hasn't it? So, yeah, no dramatic build-ups until there's a return.
I think that's probably a wise decision, to be honest. Yeah. On to the captaincy then. A few nice options, actually, in game week 20. The ones we've got written down so far, Ollie Watkins against Burnley. I certainly won't be going there again after last week. Maybe a Manchester City player against Sheffield United, or potentially we could go Son against Bournemouth. Are there any other options, or one of those three going to be your pick, Jules?
No, I'm tempted by Watkins. I just think that Burnley, just the way they play, is quite open. They concede chances all the time. And we were being lucky with Salah, for the ones who captained Salah in game week 19, because he, just in the first half, his XG was 0.4 or 0.45, something like that. So he should have scored. He hit the crossbar, of course. So that, we were being lucky there. And I just think Villa, especially on the back of losing that game at Old Trafford at home, where they've been amazing, are going to be very, very difficult for Burnley to handle. So Watkins, I think, could be a very good option. And certainly right now, he's my leading contender.
You're a brave man. Ian?
I'd like Sam's advice on this, really, because I said earlier on in the podcast that Son was being looked at ahead of their match later on. Now, I'm in the point where I could just keep Son. I could sell Son and bring in Phil Foden, or I could end up actually captaining Son against Bournemouth. So what are you thinking, Sam, about his sort of credentials at the moment?
I'm captaining Son against Bournemouth.
Oh, there you go.
Ooh, she said it.
I'm going to that game. So New Year's Eve at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Oh, no, Jules, don't say that. Come on, stop it. There's got to be a Spurs win coming. If I go to three Spurs games and we lose all three, and then that'll be a disaster. But I genuinely think that with the way the Spurs are playing, like I get what you're saying about when he's out on the left, he is less effective, but he isn't playing as far out on the left as he was in the early part of the season. And he is coming in, he and Richarlison, generally speaking, they are still swapping positions quite a lot. And it'd be interesting to see what they do against Brighton tonight as to whether they do that swap. If it all goes horribly wrong tonight against Brighton, then I might rethink it. But for me right now, I like what he's doing. We know that he's on penalties now, particularly with like the news that Romero's out now as well. Spurs are going to need a boost, and he's the sort of man that will just go, right, okay, I need to drag my team kicking and screaming through this one and into the new year before he disappears off to the Asian Cup for a while. So he's my captain. I've got the vice-captain's armband on Salah, because even though it's a difficult match against Newcastle, I still think that he's a decent captaincy option this week, because Newcastle defensively have been poor. So if you do want to play it a bit safe, then I do think that Salah is still a really good captaincy option.
Yeah, in my head, coming onto the podcast, Salah was going to be my captain. I had a look at his record against Newcastle as well. He scored in 6 of his first 8 starts against them when he arrived back in the Premier League at Liverpool, but he's actually not scored in his last 4 against Eddie Howe's side. That's the only thing that's, you know, a little bit of a negative. At home, he's been so good this season, and it's not mattered in a way who he's faced. Like I said earlier on, he's only blanked in game week 17 at home to Manchester United. So his record at Anfield's really good. Definitely think he is a consideration for us. City, the difficult thing will be to pick the one, because, well, we've talked about Alvarez. We've talked about Foden. Sam's picked Grealish as a differential. I mentioned that Bernardo Silva was a backup for me. He got a goal and assist at Goodison Park and maximum bonus. So the spreaders aren't the City in a sense. It could be any one of those players who hauls against Sheffield United, or it could be KDB because he's back, or it could be Haaland because he ends up being back. So it's really hard to call who your captain would be. I think owning the assets is easier, but actually picking the captain. So yes, it's wide open this week. It's good, this.
Final word on Son, Ian. He has actually got a really good record against Bournemouth. So he's had 11 Premier League matches against them. And in that time, he's scored 6 goals and got 2 assists. So good record against Bournemouth.
In fact, you've just reminded me of something. Darwin's got a great record against Newcastle, Jules. Surely you captain him, wouldn't you?
Those 2 goals he scored at St James's Park.
3 in his last 2 against Newcastle.
Jules captains Darwin.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's a lot of other things that have happened since then, though, isn't there, Jules? Yeah. Yeah. Probably put you off that decision.
I thought he was your boy. What happened to that?
He's my boy, Chico.
There's only so much loyalty you can... Yeah.
El Capitano, vamos, Chico.
Vamos, hermano, vamos, vamos, but no capitán.
No capitán.
Transfers. Have we decided our transfers, Mr. Laurent? Probably not.
I said I'd use one of the 2 free transfers to upgrade the bench, probably. So Livramento or my boy Pellistri, another Uruguayan, of course. Vamos Pellistri, but on the bench. Something like that, really, I think.
Yeah, it feels like a lot of us are just going to be kind of making, I don't want to say a little transfer, because a transfer is a transfer, but maybe just a bench transfer to sort out some of our budget headaches before we go big next week with working out what to do with Salah and Son. Ian, what about you?
Yeah, exactly that. Son was the one that I've obviously talked about, and Sam has thrown the cat amongst the pigeons in my plans.
Always.
So I'm going to keep a very, 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 very close eye on him tonight to work out exactly what to do. But failing that, I think it's probably the sales, actually. I said before, didn't I, that he's not a priority for me, but perhaps doing that, it's better than burning a transfer, isn't it? So it could well be him out for someone. And they wouldn't even start, I don't think, this game week. It's just going to be one of those.
Just bring Anthony Robinson for Lascelles. That's a good pick.
I mean, for the joy that would bring.
I feel like you should have to.
Yeah, as a forfeit. You get a minus differential, that's a forfeit. You have to bring them in the next game week.
I'm going to speak to producer Jesse to see if we can make that a rule, you know.
Yeah. Anthony Robinson listens
forward,
to the show, by the way.
Perhaps not from this point.
He won't anymore, Jules, after listening to the amount of slating he's got today.
Sam, what about your transfer?
So I've got 2 frees and I might use them both. So I think potentially I'm going to go Simicast to Trent. That feels like a move I want to make. And I don't want to not have a Manchester City player going into their game against Sheffield United. So I'll just take a punt on one, I think, and it's deciding which one. So the boring one is to deal with my defensive issue and do Livramento to Kyle Walker. They feel so dull. And against Sheffield United, I don't think I want to be dull. I think I'd quite like to go for something a bit more fun. So there's potential that I go for a midfielder option and have a little look at the ones we've talked about, Foden, Bernardo Silva, Grealish, take your pick. Or I could say to Cameron Archer, thanks for the returns in the last 2 game weeks. I appreciate you a lot, but I'm just going to go back to Alvarez until Haaland's back. And that might be what I end up doing.
That's quite a nice upgrade though, isn't it? It's like when you do Simicast to Trent.
Simicast to Trent and Cameron Archer to Alvarez feel like 2 really nice transfers. Yeah, it feels like a bit of fun, doesn't it? So,
if you had to pick one of those midfielders, Sam, who would you go for?
Ooh.
I think
probably.
Yeah, it feels a bit like that. I think probably for this week or long term, because for this week, I do really like Grealish for this week against Sheffield United. I think he could do really well, but I think more longer term, I'd probably look at Bernardo Silva.
Yeah, security of starts. I think Grealish is probably the one because he's playing in the absence of Doku, and there doesn't seem to be any sign of him returning just yet. I really like Phil Foden.
We can tell.
Yeah, it's just
the positional thing though, isn't it? It's when Haaland comes back, where does Foden play? And that worries
Foden
me.
Still be there. Yeah, exactly. And even the way Guardiola was speaking after the game, it was like, I interviewed Foden. I said, you know, is this my best position? This is the place I enjoy playing the most. And I feel like I'm learning more and more all the time. And then Guardiola spoke, and he's like, Foden controlled the game and he did this and he did that. And at the end of it, he was like, so is this his position now? Well, it depends who's available. And you're like, oh, So, yeah, it's a tough call, that midfielder slot. I think I'd go for Foden based on everything I've said over the podcast, but that's a really tough call, that.
Do you know what? We're going to end this podcast now before Ian switches allegiances from being a Manchester United fan to a Manchester City fan. Because
it's all for the FPL, Kelly. This is what it's about. You won't want me to come on and be biased, would you? So
no.
You've got to leave your loyalties aside when you come on this podcast.
Captain Salah against United. Look where that got me. You all convinced me of that. I was being biased.
Very true. No one saw that result coming, let's be honest, even you. Anyway, as I said, that is all we've got time for today. Another bumper pod, because we did have plenty to talk about reviewing two game weeks and looking ahead to game week 20. A reminder, if you do still have your wild card, use it or you will lose it. And then, of course, once the deadline has passed, you've got another one available if you feel your team needs it. A reminder, as always, our FPL Pod League, if you want to join, is IB3WLK. There is a Saturday morning deadline for game week 20, the last of 2023. It's 11 a.m. 90 minutes ahead of Luton versus Chelsea. There's also a fantasy show for you on Friday. Ian will be joined by both halves of the FPL family in the studio. How have we allowed that one, Ian?
The insurance has been looked at and apparently we can do it, so that's good, yeah.
Okay, great. When I was presenter, I downright refused to have both of them in when I was in earlier in the season, so you can have that one.
I'm hoping to become an honorary member of FPL family just for the show. That would be nice.
The child.
We'll adopt you on the Friday morning, Ian.
And we will be back at the FPL Pod next Wednesday to review Game Week 20, review the season so far, and talk through those plans for managing AFCON and the Asian Cup, because we've been talking about it for a while, but it will finally be a problem that we have to solve. Thank you, as always, for listening. Thanks to Ian, Sam and Jules for being with me, and we'll speak to you next week. And of course, Happy New Year. Bye-bye.